Welcome to Tippy Tappy Sports. It's a new year, which means a new episode, but it's the same old Brothers Timms, which means that joining me is Aaron Timms, who has recovered from his COVID. But more importantly, Aaron, have you recovered from the shock of David Warner losing his banging green and then finding it again?
Well, we spoke to the hotel and we have complete confidence in them. Qantas, they don't know what's going on. I mean, Qantas lost it, right? The hotel lost it. It was in the hotel the whole time. they failed. I mean, David Warner's obviously been learning at the elbow of his new political mentor, John Howard. But failed to blame it on an ethnic minority, which was a little bit disappointing.
Yeah.
You know, because it's sort of like the cap just sort of miraculously reappeared and it was like, oh, we found it. should have gone the extra miles and, you know, we found it and there was some, you know, little Indonesian bloke who stole it. that would have been the right thing to do for David Warner's the next chapter of David Warner's life, which presumably will involve him going into federal parliament. But there's still time for him to develop those habits.
There is. I mean, the first video he put out, sort of, you know, saying, I'm granting immunity.
Yeah. It's like, okay, you can have the backpack. We'll give you a free backpack. The most sort of underwhelming reward offer.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah, it was pathetic.
But, it's very, very sad though that I had to have the borrowed cap on for the first couple of days of the test. Because if you don't have that sort of wearing around, you know, the rim or whatever.
Yeah.
The fraying of the cloth, which is proof that you've played more than 100 tests. It's not quite the same, is it?
No, you don't. You just don't command the respect in the dressing room.
And you can tell that Pakistan didn't respect him in the first innings. You know, got out quite cheaply, but in the second innings, comes back out, he's got the cap on, and all of a sudden, you know,
yeah,
guard of honor, friendly bowling, just putting it in the slot for a few cover drives or whatever. and then of course he got out, which was good. Tell us about this in Sydney. A lot of emotion, I imagine, on the streets of sort of Enmore, Stanmore.
Yeah. Just
about about the retirement of David Warner.
Yeah, you know, put your tash out was certainly trending for a while.
Yeah, there we go.
You know, a lot of love.
A lot of sandpaper being sold at Bunnings.
Yeah, I mean, also he's gone. What was sort of most irritating in terms of all of the media coverage, particularly on the TV, was their insistence on referring to him as Davey Warner rather than just David Warner Stumpy.
Yeah, David's fine. You know, you're not economizing on syllables by calling him Davey. It's two syllables. It's the same.
That doesn't
count as a nickname. If you're not elongating or shortening and you just got exactly the same number of syllables, I don't think it should count as a nickname. But the coverage was a bit sort of silly. I mean, he wasn't really that good, was he? I mean,
he was pretty good. What is those sort of 8,000 test runs or whatever? Like, you know,
it's better than what you've done. But you know, I mean, that goes without saying. And how many test runs have you scored, mate? It was like, but I, you know, this is the kind of treatment that was reserved in the past for, you know, Glenn McGrath, Shane Warne, Steve Waugh. They're basically the only three players I can think of who got sort of comparable treatment on retirement. I mean, Ponting would have, but obviously there was the whole sort of tension with Clark, and so his departure from the team was a little bit more acrimonious, but this was like, you know, big sort of thing at the end and the kids coming onto the ground. I mean, okay, it's great when people go onto the ground. I don't have a problem with that. But just this sort of whole spectacle of celebrating this guy who was obviously, you know, a very good player at home, but he was hopeless, you know, away. Playing in a hopeless away, hopeless in India, hopeless in England. And also, he's just, you know, he was a cheat. I mean, you know, he's a cheat. He's a bully. This whole thing of sort of saying that, oh, yeah, he's a complicated guy and, yeah, he does the TikTok dances with his daughters and, oh, he loves his wife. You know, who cares? Who cares? He bullied Cameron Bancroft into doing Sandpapergate and then sort of tried to pretend like it was a sort of collective effort when he was obviously the ringleader. I mean, you know, like, and it's sort of all sort of was forgotten and it was all like, oh, he's this revolutionary player. And of course he was very good when he was sort of, you know, belting the ball around and scoring centuries that are on a ball or, you know, scoring a century in a single session or whatever. That was all great. And he, you know, it's good that he got that run in the test team. But I felt like, you know, the whole thing, it felt like we were sort of celebrating a player, over-celebrating a player who was probably emblematic of a fairly mediocre period in Australia's test history. Like, I mean, when he started in the team, Australia was obviously not very good. We'd just come off the thrashing, losing the Ashes at home and all this kind of stuff. You know, losing the Ashes in England, again in 2013. And, you know, and so it was kind of this sort of mediocre. And obviously we've become better over time, especially as the bowling unit has stuck together. But yeah, we're just like, I felt like, oh yeah, this is the player that we celebrated in a period when we weren't actually all that dominant. Would. So it felt a little bit weird. And I mean, the thing that people forget about that South Africa series, of course, is that we were losing. We were being, you know, outplayed. And they obviously thought that was going against the script of what should have been happening to Australian cricket at that time, because we'd sort of come out of the bad period. We, you know, had the Mitchell Johnson Ashes. We won in South Africa, but then obviously South Africa went to Australia in 2016 and owned us. That was like the Kagiso Rabada's coming out party. And then, you know, but then we were like, oh, but you know, but South Africa sucks now. And they're sort of finished with the Dale Steyn, Graham Smith era. Now they're just going to be rubbish and they don't put any money or effort into test cricket. And so we went over there expecting that we were going to dominate the series. And yeah, exactly. And that's obviously not how things happen. And so Warner decided that it would be a good idea to cheat sort of, but like cheat sort of really badly. Yeah. So, you know, I don't know, like, I mean, people are like, oh, well, you know, he's a complicated man and, you know, interesting player. And he did a lot for Australian cricket. I'm like, did he? Like, what? He opened the batting for Australia. Okay, that's great. But, you know, I thought it was a little bit over the top. And people in the media, like the Jeff Lemon thing in The Guardian, me, it was like, Why are these writers so uncritical, so afraid to criticize? I think a lot of these, the Lemons, the Collos, I mean, I know we talk about them I talk about them on every episode, but like them and then the great cricketer people, they're becoming very, very sort of, you know, chummy with the dressing room. And to me, it's like, that doesn't make for interesting writing. It's like, okay, you can do some stupid, you know, Instagram videos and some, you know, let's remember the time when, you know, Matthew Hayden, you know, ate a curry and had to go to the toilet or whatever. Let's all have a laugh about that. It's all that kind of stuff. And like Lemon seems to be doing that as well. And so his Warner things seem to be symptomatic of that, which was like, let's write this very sort of dewy-eyed reminiscence of this guy's career when, in fact, I think a lot of people in Australia actually dislike him. It was very strange. I don't know why those types of writers feel the need to do that, because they don't gain anything from giving the dressing room soft coverage, from being sort of uncritical in the way that they write about these cricketers. They're just, I mean, you know, we've spent time in the press box. We know what it's like. You've got this sort of very clear hierarchy where you've got, you know, you've got your sort of try hard guards like Peter Lawler and people like that who were sort of milling around up the back and going into the TV boxes and the radio boxes and doing their little radio hits and stuff. And then you've got like just the pure print preachers who are sort of the bums who just sort of sit at their desks in the press box all day and basically just watch the cricket and then have to write up and then have to write something. It's like that's what their job is. They're just observing and writing about the cricket. You're not like trying to get stories out of the dressing room. You're not trying to break news. There's no sort of sense of there's no need for access, right? You're just basically observing the cricket, sitting there as a spectator would, and then writing, a report of what's happened, and combined with obviously your observations and criticisms and all that kind of stuff, your perspective on the action. And so like there's nothing to be gained from like going easy on the players, I don't think.
I think it
I mean
ends up
someone
being.
like Roebuck used to be a lot more critical, I thought. I didn't particularly like him as a writer, obviously, but at least he had sort of some distance or some sense of serving, a readership and not serving the interests of the Australian dressing room. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, but it's also, ultimately, you're a Colo and Lemon and the great cricketer and whatnot are only serving themselves, because, for people like the great cricketer, I mean, they just need engagement. They want to do great numbers,
Yeah, just
so
numbers.
that's why they become chummy with all the players, because it starts off, as you say, it starts off being distant. It starts off serving the listeners and being relatively critical of the ridiculousness, not only of cricket, but obviously the way in which the Australian Test team, is held up to be this, bastion of moral rectitude and whatnot. And then it becomes, and then it becomes popular, or the great cricketer becomes popular, and you get guests on. This is ultimately why we don't have guests on, because we want to maintain a distance.
We've got integrity. We've got integrity. I mean, we've had offers. Damien Martin has been in the DMs being like, "Boys, when can I get on the podcast?" And we've said, "No, Marto. We're not getting involved in crypto. We don't care about what you're doing in the Bitcoin space." But yeah, no, I mean it's and I mean it, I was thinking of it, I saw sort of I got served like obviously because I've been consuming a lot of cricket content. I've been served a lot of cricket stuff on my Instagram Explore page. And a lot of
Oh,
it
yeah.
is, just the sort of, Brad Haddin telling some boring story from
Oh,
the
God.
2012 series of something or other. And I was wondering, like, and they're so, you look at them now, I mean, they were obviously never, few of them were ever particularly engaging personalities when they were playing, but they're just so boring now. And I was wondering, will today's Australian team be as boring when they come to do, the reminiscence and anecdote sort of after sort of dinner party circuit speaking material kind of in a decade's time? Like I mean Nathan Lyon, I'm just trying to think who would actually be interesting, and probably there aren't too many people
There aren't any of them. No, I
who
mean.
wouldn't. I mean Cummins obviously would have something interesting to say, I think, and he's a relatively engaging personality. Khawaja, I think would be good, but I'm not sure that he'd really be interested in doing that kind of stuff. He doesn't seem like he wants to spend the rest of his life talking about sort of
About
tours from the
cricket.
2010s.
Yeah. He's more of a Craig Foster kind of character.
He'll lead the push. He could be the first president. Could be the first president. If it's not going to be Fozzie, it could be Uzi. Fozzie and Uzi as a joint presidential ticket could be good, I think.
Definitely. But I, in terms of the cricketers being incredibly boring, I think just because they're more active and prevalent on social media, and you do have more access to what goes on, doesn't make them any more interesting at all. Like
Oh, no.
all of those sort of anecdotes that you talk about, and it's the I don't know who does those interviews, but it's the listener platform And I think it's the Triple M. It's that. It's those sort of. It's always these middle-aged blokes who are wearing hats to cover off their receding hairlines. Whether you're talking to Brad Haddon or, I mean, I saw this thing with Nathan Lyon talking about the first time he met David Warner, and it was the most boring anecdote about David
and
Warner. Warner called him up and told him to drive his car back from the pub to the hotel. And, like, that was the extent of the anecdote.
And we've had, like, a ridiculously over-the-top reaction from the from the cap-wearing, you know, hosts or whatever, anchors. There's a real sort of industry now that's sort of developed around this, and it needs to be held to account. It needs to be stopped.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather the I long for the days of Tony Gregg's memorabilia, because that was the extent of it, right? You didn't get all of this other crap.
I'd take, you know, Kerry O'Keefe telling the paddy whack joke for the time any day. It's like, we don't need to hear the paddy whack joke again, Kerry. We've heard it enough times. We can all say it off by heart now. But I mean, you know, Kerry O'Keefe. We talk about the commentators. Let's just take a moment to talk about Mark Waugh. What a miserable turd he is. Just a horrible commentator. I mean, I don't know if he was on the version that you were watching, but I mean, he's just, you know, I mean, I'm all for criticism and sort of impartiality in commentary on cricket and all that kind of stuff, but there's something so sour about him. He's kind of, you know, doesn't want to concede that anyone on the field is doing anything good. and he also doesn't seem to, like, really like being a commentator. But for some reason, he's got this career now where he's ubiquitous.
And across all formats too.
It's like, what about this guy is so engaging? I mean, the one good thing he's done, of course, is his ongoing social media ding dong with Dan Bredig, but where he kind of he does the sort of, you know, well, have you played Test cricket?
The most pathetic comment.
And also just like debasing himself by taking on this ultimately quite sort of I don't want to say inconsequential, but I mean, you know, he's a writer, and it's sort of like, why are you picking a fight with this guy? You really don't need to. That's good material. I mean, the other thing out of the test, well, do you want to talk about the test? Do you want to series generally, and, you know, who did well and who did badly? Well, Australia did well, 1-3-0.
Pat Cummins, man of the series.
Kamo Ishiguro saying over and over again, he can do no wrong. Everything he touches turns to gold. I'm like, okay, we get it, Ish and Hash. G'day, Hash. Cummins was obviously good, and, you know, the Hazelwood over and all that kind of stuff. I mean, Nathan Lyon had a bit of a crap series, didn't he? But I mean, Pakistan was good. I mean, Jamal was great. Various other people. Obviously, Babar Azam was a bit of a disappointment. But
The batting.
What was it?
Well, the Pakistani batting generally was not that good.
Yeah. It was like they all sort of got starts and then kind of threw their wickets away. All got out to ultimately very good Australian fast bowling. But
just on that point about the fast bowling, I mean, we didn't do an episode in relation to the second test because you were recuperating. Health sanatorium. But I mean, it was obviously very disappointing that Pakistan didn't win. And I mean, without completely going into it like that. Cummins' dismissal of and I will forget the guy, the bloody ball on the wristband of the glove. I mean,
that wasn't out.
I didn't think it was out. I mean, it wasn't sort of completely clear.
It wasn't definitive. It was like, yeah, the third umpire was like, oh yeah, I can see the spot, the hot spot or whatever. I was like, can you? that was obviously the pivotal wicket. Because they were going quite well until then. But yeah, that was a bit soft. But the thing I wanted to talk about was you know, the middle Australia's middle order, because I mean, Smith and Labuschagne have become so boring to watch. Like, they score so slowly, and I mean, it wasn't always like this, was it? Like, Smith used to score relatively rapidly earlier in his career, even in 2019, you know, the Ashes series. I remember he was okay. He had some very long innings, and obviously he's very good at sort of digging in. But there was still kind of like a sense of momentum. I mean, some of those sessions in this series when they were batting together were so boring, and it was almost kind of like they were just doing it to prove a point. And it was, and it also, you know, because they actually didn't go on and score, make big scores, you know, they actually both had fairly mediocre series. It also kind of puts this pressure on the lower middle order when they have to come in with this sort of scoring at, you know, 2.1 and over or something. And all of a sudden they kind of feel like they have to start accumulating runs a little more aggressively. So overall, it's just sort of, I don't really understand why they've decided to play that way. I actually feel like it could be a sort of a response to Bazball, because I sort of remember it really starting during the Ashes when we were sort of, you know, we were like, oh no, we're going to play our way, which, and apparently the Australian way is to just score very slowly, which has never been the case previously. Yeah. But it was kind of like, oh well, England's doing this thing, we're going to play our way, which is, you know, one run and over. And I don't know that, I don't think it actually really suits either of them, to be honest, because they haven't actually had very good years. I mean, Smith is in a bit of a form slump. His average is down to 57. He's going to end up, you know, sort of in just regular early 50s average territory. I don't think he's going to recover and get the plus 60 average that people thought he would finish with a few years ago. But yeah, it's just weird. And now obviously there's this whole discussion about Smith opening, which, you know, which could be a solution.
Well, I mean, given what you've just been saying in terms of the slow over rates, which the slow scoring rates rather. Maybe it's not a bad idea. I don't know which genius in the Brains Trust floated that idea initially.
He's been lobbying for it, apparently. According to my sources, aka a story by Dan Brettig in The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald, paddywhack. he's sort of been quietly lobbying for the opening slot for the past couple of tests. But Cummins doesn't want to countenance it because you know, they want the specialist in there. Bancroft or whatever. But now it seems people don't like Bancroft because he said that fast bowlers were involved with Sandpapergate, and so it all seems very, very political. They'll probably just pick Marcus Harris or something.
Yeah. I mean, also, with David Warner sort of constantly going on and anointing Marcus Harris as his replacement, I feel like saying, shut up, man, you're not a selector.
Yeah. That's kind of ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, Steve Waugh used to do stuff like that, though, didn't he? He's always kind of, you know, this guy's the future. Shane Watson's the future.
I mean, unless Steve Waugh was the captain, what, captain and selector at the time. I mean, Warner's just a bloody stumpy bloke from Matraville.
He's just a coalition MP in waiting. I mean, that story was good. Apparently, Peter Lawler claims that he only wrote that story because the cricket itself was so boring and he didn't have anything else to write about. But I mean, just the vision of him sort of cornering Jeanette Howard and sort of offering his views on the diesel tax or whatever. It was quite good. And I mean, and this was actually one of the other things in all the, just to come back to the sort of the Warner love in over the past couple of days, all the pieces that were written kind of made a point of, you know, reminding everyone that he'd led the player negotiations with Cricket Australia in 2017. And I mean, I like many others, I think, sort of interpreted that. We sort of took that and, you know, we like this guy's from Matraville, you know, he's sort of just a working class kid from the Housing Commission or whatever. You know, he's a unionist. He's obviously a lefty. He's gonna run for Labor. But, you know, in retrospect, it was pure self interest. Of course, he just wanted to get the best deal for himself out of Cricket Australia, and leading negotiations was probably, he felt, the best way to do that. And so I think it'll make sense that he'll end up, you know, running you know, for the Libs.
Member for Hassan.
And Colo, apparently. Yeah, well, and yeah, probably. And Colo has apparently kept an investment property in northeastern suburbs or something of Melbourne, and wants to you know, get pre-selection for the Labor Party. So we could have you know, a classic Davey against Adam
Polo
in federal parliament. Yeah,
maybe
Polo with Glenn Lazarus to adjudicate.
maybe with Jeff Lemon as Davey Warner's media advisor.
Oh yeah, well no, Lemon would be Colo's speechwriter, sort of the Don Watson role, just hoping that he gets to publish the very long and
very long,
quite boring book about
serious,
you know, working in politics, and then he can do. You know, I mean, does Don Watson sort of, is Don Watson a presence in Australian letters anymore? I'm not sure.
No,
he's blown his wad. He did the book about, how people don't use similes the right way. It was like one of those real sort of old man yelling at the cloud kind of books, which is like, people don't know how to use language anymore. And then he did his book about, is like, he did the America book, but he can't drive a car, so he just like took the train across America, which is like, not, I don't think, how you get to the heart of America. Of course, very different if you live in New York. You can take the subway, as you know. You're a big you're a big subway guy.
He's no Bill Bryson. So Don Watson, no one trots him. I mean, look, I expect Don Watson to appear in the Good Weekend as a, you know, as a subject for the Two of Us article or something like that.
That's the kind of thing
that he's been relegated to.
Yeah, Don Watson and Paul Keating, the Two of Us. It's like old mates on the stoop at Keating's house at Elizabeth Bay, if he still lives there. But so that's something to look forward to. The political battles to come between Colo and Warner.
Yeah, Colo, Warner, Lemon, Watson, Keating. Yeah. They're all Lazarus.
They'll all be all, back in Parliament in Lazarus. Yeah, and well, Meninga might make a comeback. that's good stuff. And there's a lot to look forward to now, isn't there?
This is what's kind of weird, because it's like it's not as though it's the end of the summer of cricket. Like, it's sort of only about halfway through.
Yeah, we've got this West Indies series.
Yeah, but this Mickey Mouse two test series against the West Indies.
Yeah, and so they're just sending a bunch of rookies. So it's just, I mean, who plays for the West Indies now? Is it like, is it as bad as the squad that South Africa is sending to New Zealand? Because I mean, that's all, pretty much all people who've never played Test cricket before, isn't
Yeah,
it?
that's what
It's,
I that's what I had read or seen somewhere. So
Well,
I mean, I don't.
maybe with the addition of Nondre Burger. I mean, Nondre Burger has it's kind of it's sort of like Afrikaans for nothing burger or something. Like, and yeah, it's just a bit of a Nondre Burger. just it was a very good bowler. I don't know if you watched any of the India South Africa series, but he definitely gets the ball to move around. I mean, it's just incredible the way they keep producing these insanely talented bowlers, fast bowlers in South Africa, even though they put absolutely no money,
Effort, yeah.
time, effort into Test cricket. They just kind of just emerge from the hive vent, you know.
Yeah, well, the shanty towns, etc.
Exactly.
But no, but the series
But
against the
never any
West
but never
Indies.
any batters. Anyway, yeah, the series against the West Indies is gonna be
Well, it's against the West Indies. Yeah, it's presumably going to be a damp squib. It'll be interesting to obviously see how they do resolve the opener issue, and what the people from Adelaide will get excited because they'll have a test, and that'll all be, fun, and people go down there and get pissed and whatnot because that's meant to be the one of the better venues for test cricket.
It's gonna be, and it's gonna be a day-night test.
So
Adelaide has to have a day-night test for some reason.
I'm not entirely sure why, but that'll be that, and then it will be the end of the summer of cricket. And that's all that. But we'll be able to continue to talk about the cricket, and then we can roll into the tennis as well, because
God, yeah. That's going to be Diminor. Diminor's come into some great form. He could definitely be a shout for a slot in the fourth round. Just get knocked out in the fourth round, but really good run up until then. Maybe a sort of valiant second round 5-set loss for Thanasi Kokkinakis.
Against someone like, I was gonna say Casper
Nondre
Ruud, but
Burger. Just against Nondre Burger. I mean, Casper Ruud is a bit of a Nondre Burger, isn't he?
I mean, they're the young pretenders who come in, who apparently have some form, and they've gotten their ranking sort of up high, but ultimately, when it comes to the crunch, they all just get wiped by Djokovic.
Djokovic has obviously set things up nicely, pretending to be injured and limping and doing sort of the limping and then throwing the cane away and but
It's
yeah no that
Donald Trump style when he recovers from COVID.
that from COVID, yeah. Just take a bit of Regeneron and get back out on the court. No, that should be good. And of course, after that's over, you'll be packing your bags for the T20 in the United T20 World Cup in the United States of America. Very excited, I'm sure, to get out to some crappy temporary stadium on Long Island, which is where Pakistan and India will be playing each other.
One of the greats. But that's not until June or whatever, isn't it?
But you probably booked your tickets
Yeah,
already,
yeah.
I imagine. Timothy?
Yeah, no, I've really taken an interest in the ticketing permutation so that I can get all of the great group games.
Exactly. Exactly. You probably signed up for the package deal with the Fanatics.
The Fanatics, care of Gulliver's Travels.
Just get in, check out all the cool spots in the Big Apple with the Fanatics. Get
The
some.
Walkabout Bar,
Just the oh, the Australian bar in on 37th Street or whatever. I went there for the AFL grand final, actually. Horrible, horrible place.
Right.
Horrible place.
Sort of sticky floors, disgusting.
Yeah, it kind of stank. It
Right.
was smelled really bad.
Right.
And it was, sort of half full, but kind of like, yeah, go. Who was
Crows.
playing? I can't remember. Yeah, go, yeah, Crows,
Yeah.
Magpies, whatever. Whatever they're called. But great match, great match. One of the best grand finals ever, I'm told. I'm reliably informed. You weren't watching, obviously. You were asleep. You were hungover.
I'm was this the most recent AFL grand final that you're
Yeah,
talking about?
yeah, yeah.
I wasn't really paying attention. I mean, who
Yeah.
cares, honestly, who
Yeah.
cares?
Yeah. 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 Yep. That's the ultimate conclusion of this sporting podcast is who cares? Who cares about sport?
Well, David Warner cares about he cares about his baggy green, and that's what's most important. Because I
Yes.
mean, what we obviously haven't spoken about in terms of people, but maybe we can save this for for the next occasion, is the apparent rehabilitation of Justin Langer, and the way that
Oh yeah. JL's back.
Maybe we'll save that. Maybe we'll save that for next time. And we
Yeah.
must discuss Nick Kyrgios's performance on his OnlyFans account.
Oh yeah. You've been you were one of the first subscribers, I think.
Yep, I was up there, right up there.
Yep. Signed up immediately, just
Yeah.
Apple Pay, bang bang, straight
Yep,
in.
straight in. Yep. Thank you. Okay, great.
Yeah, okay, great. Well, we'll do that next time. Sounds good, Damien.
Thank you. Thanks for that. And yeah, great. Good one.
Cool. Okay.
Regards to Colo.
Yep. See ya. See ya, Jeff.
Okay.
Bye.